The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 7, Text Number 30, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatikari, recorded on September 18th, 2008, in Sofia, Bulgaria.
So today, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto Number 3, Chapter Number 7, Text Number 30. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Yajnasya cha vitanani. Yogasya cha patapravo. Naiskarmyasya cha sankhyasya. Tantram va Bhagavat Smritam. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Please also describe the expansions of different sacrifices and the paths of mystic powers, analytical study of knowledge and devotional service, all with their respective regulations. Purport. The word tantram is significant herein. Sometimes tantram is misunderstood to be black spiritual science of materialistic persons engaged in sense gratification. But here tantram means the science of devotional service compiled by Narad Muni. One can take advantage of such regulative explanations of the path of devotional service and make progressive advancement in the devotional service of the Lord. Sankhya philosophy is the basic principle of acquiring knowledge, as will be explained by the sage Maitreya. The Sankhya philosophy enunciated by Kapila Dev, the son of Devahuti, is the real source of knowledge about the Supreme Truth. Knowledge not based on the Sankhya philosophy is mental speculation and can yield no tangible profit. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajiva Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha. So, what is the prime necessity of this human life? The average person would say, make money as much as possible. So you can enjoy nice sense gratification. And you can secure nice sense gratification for your children and grandchildren. By hook or by crook. Somehow or other, beg, borrow, or steal, but get money as much as possible. That's what people consider the most important thing. So, what will they get from doing them? They may get some money. How long will that money last? Money comes and money goes. During the Civil War in the USA, there were the southern states, they declared independence from the United States. They fought a war to get independence from the U.S. I think there was around 13 states they fought to get independence. They started their own country. They called it the Confederate States of America. And they issued their own currency, their own, you know, Confederate currency. And so if you were wealthy, if you had a lot of Confederate currency, you see. But when the Confederacy lost the war and had to merge back into the United States, they were using that money as wallpaper. In other words, it became totally valueless. So whatever money we have in this world, ultimately it's valueless. When you're hungry, can you eat money? Of course, if you were cold in the winter, you could burn a bunch of it and get a little warmth out of it. Easy. But, you know, it wouldn't last very long. Wood would burn much better than paper money. So what value does money really have, you see? The real thing is tangible goods, food, you see, cows, land. That's tangible value. Jewels, you see. Something that actually has value, you see. What? The money itself has no value. And yet people are so greedy for money. It means we don't really understand what has value. We don't know what brings happiness. We think if I can have a lot of money, then I'll be happy. But actually we see the more wealthy people become, the more they become miserable. Because they have a false sense of happiness based on the acquiring of material goods. Which can be taken away at any minute. This is why the Brahmins, they voluntarily accepted poverty, you see. Because then there's no anxiety. It's like in the old days, there were the big yagyas. In the Treta Yuga. Big, huge yagya. So much ghee, so much gold, you see. And the Brahmins, they would be given all, the kings would give all wealth to the Brahmins. Huge quantity of gold they'd be given. Then after the yagya, the Brahmin, he's going back to his home, you see. And he has this huge load of gold. And so they would just throw it like garbage on the side of the road and walk home without it. So when Arjuna, he is known as Dhananjay, you see. There was need for great wealth to perform the Rajasuya Yagya. So Krishna informed him where in previous yugas all these yagas had been performed. So Arjuna went there and he gathered the gold that the Brahmins had thrown away, you see. So what is the actual wealth of the Brahmins? If the Brahmins are throwing away gold, what is the actual wealth of the Brahmins? They are rich in Vedic knowledge. And they are rich in the application of that knowledge. You see, bhakti. That is actual wealth. The more you become learned in the Vedic wisdom, and the more you become expert in applying the Vedic wisdom, then you are fabulously rich. And whatever you need, Krishna will give you. Ananyas chintayanto mang ye jana paryapasate teisham nichapayuktanam yogache mam vaham yaham. Krishna says that for those who worship me with exclusive devotion, worshipping, meditating on my transcendental form, I preserve what they have and I carry what they like. In one lecture, Prabhupada translated it, Krishna personally delivers to your home whatever you need. Home delivery service, is it? In other words, if you're a pure devotee, exclusively absorbed in bhakti, and you're lacking something, and Krishna will personally bring it to the door, or ring the doorbell, and personally deliver it to the door, you see. He's the FedEx. DHL man, see. Krishna will become the DHL delivery service for whatever you're lacking. Who are these persons who get such service from Krishna? Of course, devotees don't want Krishna to serve them. They want to serve Krishna. But Krishna joyfully serves his devotees. Which of these devotees does he serve? Actually, he serves all of his devotees. But he serves them to the degree that they are surrendered to him. So, how much mercy do you want from Krishna? You want a little bit of mercy? You want a little bit more mercy? How about a little bit more mercy? Or would you like unlimited mercy? Would you like the unlimited mercy of Krishna flowing upon you at every minute? Huh? Would you like that? then you must surrender fully, totally, wholly to Krishna with every thought, word, and deed in all times, places, and circumstances. As Lord Chaitanya prays, I know no one but Krishna is my Lord, and he shall remain so even if he handles me roughly by his embrace or leaves me brokenhearted by not being present before me. He is free to do anything and everything with me because he is my worshipful Lord unconditionally.
Притиска в обядите си или скъсва сърцето ми като не се едава пред мен.
Yeah, Krishna wants to use me as his doormat. That's all right. You know, doormat where you wipe your shoes when you come in the house. Doormat.
Yes, ако Кришна иска да ми използва като изтривалка, то е okay.
Whatever position Krishna wants me to serve him, it's okay. I'm willing to do that. If he wants me to travel all over the world and preach, I'm willing to do that. If he wants me to stay in one place and preach, I'm willing to do that. If he wants me to worship the deities, I'm willing to do that. He wants me just to wash the pots 24 hours a day, I'm willing to do that. If he wants me to work a job and make money to support the temple, I'm willing to do that. Doesn't matter what Krishna wants. I'm prepared to do anything and everything to please him. That is devotional service. Not how can God serve me. This is what the so-called religionists do these days, you see. They go to the church, the synagogue, the mosque, and the temple. And they open up their shopping list. Dear Lord, this is what I need this week, you see. I've got a sore knee. I have a sore knee, you see, my knee is aching. I have some debts I have to pay off. I have an enemy, I want him to drop dead. I want a new car. I want to get a raise in my job. I want to have sex with that girl over there. You please answer all my prayers, Lord. See how gross, how disgusting it is? And they in all the religions they're motivated like this. Give me this, give me that, give me, give me, give me. And they're proud of being religious. Yes, I'm a great Christian. I go every week to the church and beg God to give me money. I'm a great Hindu, I'm a great Muslim, I'm a great Jew. All this simply bogus nonsense. They have no bhakti. They're simply greedy for material goods, material sense gratification. So what Prabhupada is teaching is revolutionary. Where in the history of the world has pure bhakti been taught so scientifically and so thoroughly as Srila Prabhupada has done?
Bhakti е преподавана толкова научно и толкова задълбочено.
Therefore, Srila Prabhupada is the preeminent acharya in the history of the universe. You know preeminent? It means the leading, number one. There is no acharya who has done what Prabhupada has done. How much we are indebted to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tri Dandi Go Swami Maharaj Prabhupada. We should never doubt Prabhupada's teachings. Some so-called liberal thinkers within our movement, they are introducing this idea that we can doubt Prabhupada's teachings with our own intelligence. This bogus philosophy must be very strongly defeated. Yasya deve para bhaktir tata deve tata guru tasyaite katita hyarta prakashanti mahatmanaha. Shvetashvatara Upanishad states that only unto those who have unflinching faith in the words of the spiritual master and in the words of Krishna are the Vedic is the Vedic wisdom revealed. If we do not put unflinching faith in the words of Srila Prabhupada, this movement will be finished. If I think I know something better than Srila Prabhupada knows it, then I am fool rascal number one. We should always understand Srila Prabhupada was sent from the spiritual world to write these books. They are not ordinary books of some philosopher giving his opinions. They are direct revelations of Krishna from Krishna within the heart of Srila Prabhupada. He is simply giving us the words of Krishna in his purports. We should never think, well, Prabhupada has his opinion and I have my opinion. We are conditioned souls. We are subject to four defects. We have imperfect senses. We have a tendency to be illusion. We make mistakes. And in spite of that, we're very proud, thinking I am great, and that is called cheating. As long as we remain subject to these four defects, we have to understand we are not perfect in knowledge. We require to hear from someone who is perfect in knowledge. That person who is perfect in knowledge is His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. So we have to hear from Prabhupada. We have to base our understanding of what is true and what is not true on the instructions, the statements of Srila Prabhupada. You may say, well, what's the advantage? He seems so strict sometimes. But I guarantee you this, if you will strictly follow Srila Prabhupada's teachings, you will live a life which is completely free from anxiety. And you will qualify yourself to go back to home, back to God at the time of death. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Narada Muni.
When Srila Prabhupada went to America, it was the time of the hippies, and they were renunciate. They don't want money, they don't want wealth. But now the times are different. People are more materialistic. They want money, they want wealth. And is it that now we are in a more difficult situation?
So what's the question?
Какъв е по-конкретно въпрос?
Въпрос е да ми разкаже нещо за времето, когато Шрила Прабхупада е ушъл и за настроението на хората, които са били неговите първи ученици. Тяхното настроение, защото знам, че много хипита, много хора са се присъединили директно веднага.
Would you tell us something about the times of Shiva Prabhupada when he began his movement of the mood of the hippies when they joined the movement?
It was actually quite easy to join in those days. We were already, the hippies were living in many ways very renounced already. It's like many hippies, they were living as, already they were, you could say, living like mendicants. They had no place of residence, they had no job. They just depended on God for their maintenance. They were in terms of, they had no money, they had no residence, they had no material facilities, they just had faith in that God would take care of them. So when Prabhupada had offered them, you know, a place to live where they could actually have a guaranteed place to sleep every night, that was a big thing. Oh, here's a place where I can actually sleep every night. I don't have to sleep in the bushes at night. You know. Many hippies, they lived very renounced. They had no vehicle, they had no car, they had no money, they had no place of residence. They would sleep maybe in someone's house one night, in the bushes the next night, you know. So to have a place where they could actually move in and have a guaranteed place to sleep every night, that was a big thing for them. I mean, a guaranteed breakfast every morning. Many of the hippies lived, they didn't know how they would eat every day, just whatever God would provide, you know, they would somehow eat here and there, but they could move into the temple and they would get a meal every day, and two or three meals every day, a place to sleep every night.
No hippies didn't have anything to eat. Shiva Prabhupada gave them three times a day, and a place to sleep.
It was easy to move into the temple if he had nowhere else to live.
беше много лесно да се нанесеш в храма, при условие, че няма къде да живееш.
They'd given up the home of their wealthy parents to live on the streets.
Те се отказаха от момента на своите богати.
They had voluntarily become homeless people.
Те доброволно станаха бездомни.
Some would live in a tree house, you know, some would live in the forest under a tree. It's like Tamal Krishna Goswami and Vishnujan, they were living at Morningstar Ranch. It was a hippie commune. They were living out under the trees. So when you have no money and you have not even a place to live, it was not that difficult to move into a temple. Yes.
If they are so renounced, then why would they look for the breakfast and place of residence?
They were so renounced, then why do they need?
Yeah, why they were looking for that. Why would they want to move into the temple for that reason?
The point is, it was from both sides. I mean, even materially speaking, there were some advantages. Of course, the teachings were very amazing. The chanting of Hare Krishna. The hippies were looking for some way that you could stay high forever and never come down, you see. They were experimenting with psychedelic drugs, trying to find some drug that could get you high and you would never come down. But they couldn't find such a drug because there is no such drug. But then Prabhupada gave them the ultimate drug. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Но Прабхупад им даде върховния наркотик, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra.
He gave them a safe place to live, where they could live, wouldn't have to live on the streets at night, and live in a house.
Той им даде безопасно място, където да живеят.
Huh?
They did not join for the house. There were no houses there. They were living in any places like that. They were so austere.
No, the early days they would rent some place and live in it. They had places to live. They had buildings. It's like in Dallas, they got a little duplex on Mission Street, and all the hippies moved. You know, they had 22nd Avenue. They were living in the storefront at night, Prabhu. They were living in the storefront. You know that. Yeah, they had a place, a building where they could sleep at night. It was practical also.
Yeah, but those buildings were not so opulent as nowadays the devotees expect.
The point is, nowadays we demand, oh, I have to have this, 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 but they were living on the street. They had no place to even sleep at night. And now at least, they were sleeping in the bushes. And now at least they had a building they could sleep in. They had to worry about somebody jumping on in the middle of the night. They could lock the door. It's practical. It was practical. I mean, you get a meal.
But they have renounced those things from their family.
You still have to eat. You can say I'm renounced, but you have your belly is growling. You still have to eat. They didn't need opulent prasadam. Because before that, they didn't know where their next meal would come from.
Nowadays, the opulent prasadam is there, still they don't want it.
That's right, because people aren't in that renounced mood now. That's his point.
Дори когато сте отречен, ти пак трябва да ядеш, защото стомахът се обажда. И тогава не са имали богат прасадам, както има днес. Но Тогава те са били в такова спрямо отличение, което днес го няма.
The hippies came from wealthy, you know, middle and upper class families in the U.S. in the beginning. And they didn't want to be controlled by their parents anymore, who were training them to be a certain type of materialistic person. They didn't want it.
Хиптите са произхождали от тази висшата и от средната класа в Америка и те не си искали да бъдат зависими от техните родители.
Just like Bob Dylan sang in that song, he said, "Come mothers and fathers throughout the land, your sons and your daughters are beyond your command." They did not want to be controlled by their parents. That's why even the parents would try to control them by money. Well, we'll fund your college expenses for you, but you have to do what we say, you see. So they said, "I don't want your money. I want the freedom to pursue my own life, you see, without being manipulated by your materialistic culture." So they were willing to take all austerities just to have that freedom of not being manipulated by the older generation in the U.S. And it became a huge phenomenon all over the U.S. and it spread all over the whole world. All these young people rejected the authority of their parents and their parents' generation to look for something new, something different that could actually bring happiness to the world. But on their own, they couldn't do it. They needed somebody to tell them who, and that was Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, "The hippies are our best customers."
Huh?
No.
They are still hippies, free of responsibilities.
No. In the 60s, nobody was interested in computer science or in the hip type people. They weren't interested in computer science or in business. They were in getting an MBA. They just wanted to study liberal arts, you know, philosophy and this things and that. Those things became very popular in the universities back in the 60s. Now everybody wants to go into business and computers. They want to go where the money is, you see.
Да учат бизнес и компютър, искат да имат много пари, а тогава 60-те са били модерни всички тези свободни изкуства.
The hippies renounced the wealth of their parents for the sake of freedom, freedom of ideas, freedom of lifestyle.
Хипитата са отказали от богатството на своите родители в името на свободата.
They voluntarily accepted poverty.
Те доброволно са приели бедност.
Just so they could have the freedom of expression, the freedom of ideas. I know, I was in that. That was me also, I was one of them. I gave up everything just so I could write songs that expressed what I wanted to express without anyone controlling me or dictating to me. I simply had a guitar and a few possessions and that's it, and I just traveled all over the country by hitchhiking with no place to live and no money. Whatever food would come, I would eat, and if there was no food, I would just go without it. I had no money to buy any food. In this way, wherever I could sleep, I would sleep in a cornfield. Wherever food would come, I would take. Otherwise, I would go without. But I would continue writing my songs and singing wherever I went.
Ако можех, ядях, но винаги продължавах да пиша своите песни.
I was looking for a message that could, a pure message, a powerful message that could bring the world out of its chaotic condition. And I wrote 300 songs trying to find the message, but I couldn't do it. Because I was a conditioned soul.
Was that the mission of all the hippies?
Huh?
Was that the mission of all the hippies?
Many hippies had that sort of mood. And they joined Prabhupada. Many hippies had that, had a similar ideals. I wasn't the only one. I was looking for bringing an ideal society to this planet.
The hippie mood is still there. They may be doing it a different way, but the hippie mood is still there in the people. They are giving up, but they cannot give up the illicit sex and the sense gratification. They are there.
That renounced mood of giving up wealth, that we don't see. The derelicts on the side of the street, they are just out and out derelicts. They're just trying to drown themselves in tamagun. They are not in that mood.
I'm not thinking about the derelicts, but there are so many other people that are hanging around, not working jobs, or they're just getting something to eat.
They still have the latter day. There are people who. There are still people who try to be in that mood. They're still around, that's true, but it's not the predominant, big, huge movement that it was. That's the thing.
At that time there was a pressure about going to war.
The Vietnam War actually helped to stimulate the whole thing. That's the thing. There's no doubt that they wanted to... They used to have a song, the hippies wrote a song called Be the First One on Your Block to Have Your Boy Sent Home in a Box, a coffin, you know. They were shipping off hundreds and thousands of young men to fight in Vietnam. And they drafted me also. They sent me a little letter in the mail, it's time to report in for duty. And I went down there and I told him I wasn't going to, I basically told him I wasn't going to cooperate with him and I'll forget it. I took a very bold position. I went down there and spoke, made very strong words against their military regime, pounding my fist on the desk. And they let me out. They didn't. I got out of it. I didn't have to go. But if you're a little meek and submissive, they take you and send you off, and you get killed in Vietnam. But I was very solid, slamming my fist and yelling in the sergeant's face. I won't repeat what I said to him. But I spoke some very strong words against the army, looking him straight in the eyes and pounding my fist. And I beat the military. I didn't have to go. I beat the draft. All the other boys were sent off. Most of the boys ended up going, but I was more determined not to go than most of the boys. They didn't get me.
В тази връзка само искам нещо да може би да се изясни, поне за мен. Това, което се е случило с хипитата, дали това е божествен аранжимент, за да стартира Кришна съзнание, или това е нормален резултат от прекалено позитивно наслаждение на тая прислойка или на богатите, които вече търсят тапасе, отречение, нещо друго, нещо различно.
Да. Rupa Manohara's question is, was this a Krishna's arrangement, this whole hippie movement, or is this something?
Dhanavir Maharaj asked Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said yes. He said that was Krishna's arrangement to help me get my movement started. Yeah. Yeah, it was Krishna's arrangement, yeah.
Were the best customers of Hare Krishna movement. Now, who are the best customers now?
Well, we have to find them. Right now I can say that you all are the best customers. Now you have to go out and get more customers. Wherever you can find them. We have to see now, in 2008, who are the best customers. And be very aggressive and look for them, you see, where we can find them. I'm convinced that we can have a second wave of a huge growth of this movement. Just like in the ocean, one wave comes in. There's a lull and another wave comes in. We've gone through the lull, now it's time for the second wave. I'm convinced that we can have a huge growth of this movement. Of course, there's actually huge growth going on. Look at, there's so much huge growth, even since Prabhupada left. Look what's happening in Russia. You know, it's this huge, huge growth is already there. But I'm thinking especially in places like America, you know, we're so influential. There, our growth has been the Hindu population has gotten more connected with our movement. But we should, the devotees in North America have to always be, remember that, you know, our mission in America is not just to be, have more and more Hindus joining our movement and make it like a Hindu, you know, organization. Our mission in America is to make the American people Krishna conscious. The Hindu people are our great allies in this struggle. And many of them become very, very good devotees, also initiated devotees. But in America, we have to stay focused on making the American, Native American people Krishna conscious. So, I think we've gone way over time today. All right, one more.
Once Prabhupada saw one church, Catholic church, and he said that in future our movement will also resemble the Catholic movement because we will have one temple and not so many people in temple, but big congregation. So was this the plan? Now we see, because we see the temples nowadays in America and these Western countries.
Well, that's a big thing already happening. The Namahat programs and the Bhakta Viksha program. That's already happening in big number. Just like in Atlanta, we have so many Indian people now who are taking up Krishna Bhakti in their home, and they come to the temple once a week. They have programs in their homes also, which are very well attended. So that's happening in many places now. We have the Namahat programs. The people make their homes into preaching centers. And And then they go to the temple once a week. So it's already happening. So, we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Yeah.